Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. My guest is Barbara Jones, Consul General of Ireland in New York, and Barbara has been Consulate General of Ireland in San Francisco, at the Embassy of Ireland in Luxembourg. She has been Deputy Head of Mission of the Embassy of Ireland in London, and indeed Joint Secretary of the British-Irish Intergovernmental Secretariat in Belfast, and then some. Barbara, Consul General, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Adrian. It's a great pleasure to join your famous show and to have an opportunity to catch up after a busy St. Patrick's season and a busy couple of months.
I do want to first of all talk about the geographical area covered by the New York Consulate.
Okay, well, at this moment in time, we have six states in our consular area. Obviously, Ambassador Anderson, our great ambassador in Washington, she has overall responsibility for relations with the federal government. And then the consulates are the sort of smaller offices that support the Irish community in their areas. So in my consular area, using that term, I have Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, Delaware, and West Virginia. And in these six consular areas, you're looking at approximately six and a half million people who claim Irish American ancestry, this reflecting the impact of the great Irish hunger and the great migration out of Ireland in the mid-19th century on the populations in this area to this day.
We are most fortunate that indeed, and a lot of credit should be given, and I know you do, to John Leahy, president of Quinnipiac University, for founding Great Irish Hunger Museum in Hamden, Connecticut, the first and only one of its kind in North America, specifically devoted to the history of the famine.
I think, and thank you for mentioning that, Adrian. I mean, I suppose looking when you're new, and I'm in just at the end of my seven months here of probably what I would hope would be a four-year term, you really do get an opportunity to see the great work that others have done. And the work that Professor Leahy has done in Quinnipiac University to build up an institution and capture the memory of the famine through art and through archive is unique. And it has provided a great boost to people in Ireland to reflect themselves on the impact of the famine in Ireland. But here I want to pay tribute to you, if I may, also for the work you did with Governor Pataki when you were the liaison with Governor Pataki, and the great work that was done here by the community and yourselves setting up a process which resulted in a living memorial to the famine here in New York City. And there's potentially a tie-up, as you know, because we're working on it with you and other people, to link that in with the great work that's going on in Quinnipiac. And I really would hope that we can push forward with that, Adrian.
But you beat me to it, because this requires the involvement of, and has been indeed, of the Irish government, and to date that will make for a very different kind of relationship. But since I am with the Consul General of Ireland, there is new news on the Irish Hunger Memorial at Battery Park City. And I'll give you the short version. The structure itself has been deemed unsafe, thanks to Sandy, thanks to 9/11, and so it is now official that beginning in October, the entire structure will be taken stone by stone. A new foundation will be installed, and it will be built exactly as it is right now, but the new structure is will last for hundreds of years, we are told, and that is a huge, massive, indeed, accomplishment, because it can be said that rumors were more than rumors, that in fact, because of the structure at the Irish Hunger Memorial in Battery Park City, that perhaps a new location within Battery Park City may be found, and we could have been sidelined into this. However, that is great, and in no small way has this been the result of the endorsement and the efforts and the commitment of the Irish government. So there's that.
Well, that's fantastic news, Adrian, and I, at the risk of the leader of the listeners thinking this is a mutual admiration society, I would have to say none of this would be happening without you and your network of friends and your deep and insightful leadership about the importance of that memorial, because heritage is everything as we look to the future.
Okay, to expand a little bit, I would like you to inform the listeners of, first of all, of Philadelphia, of the great number of both Irish-born and Irish-Americans, and their memorial, hunger memorial there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in terms, I think Philadelphia is a really fascinating state. It has a great Irish community. We have, in the northern part of Philadelphia, we have an amazing Irish-American leader in Dan Rooney, who was one of the founding members of the American Ireland Fund, Ambassador
yeah.
Rooney. And I know that you have featured a very important interview recently about the importance of that organization. So in the north we have Dan Rooney, and then we have a whole network of Irish organisations in that part of the world, from the GAA to political groups to cultural groups. Then down in Philadelphia, or over in Philadelphia, we have this amazing clustering of Irish America, both of the first migration, the 18th century Presbyterian migration, and from Ireland when Presbyterians were denied their rights during the penal times, who became part of the revolutionary movement here in America. And that's a fascinating story of the Presbyterian Irish, or what are known in the census as the Scots Irish. And then in the second phase of the migration, then the famine too impacted on Pennsylvania. And we have a lot of, really interesting, that it's from northern Ireland or northwestern Ireland, the nine counties of Ulster, you see a major footprint of migration into Pennsylvania traditionally, even to this day. So what you see now in contemporary Philadelphia is Irish American people of great standing in the community, like Bill McLaughlin, the Irish American Chamber of Commerce. We have great, great leadership by our Kathy Burns, our Grand Marshal of the parade. And those people, I think, in some way inspired by the leadership in Ireland to mark the anniversary of the Great Famine, reflected themselves on how they, as a community, could memorialize that impact, the impact of the famine on their city. And it's the most beautiful, beautiful tribute. It's a very complex piece of sculpture, and it really, if people haven't seen it in Philadelphia, I would encourage them even to go online and look at the pictures. It's a stunning piece of architecture which captures, I think, the grief and the sadness and the torment that the famine and the migration represents in Irish history. And it's there in Philadelphia. And because of the great leadership they've given with this beautiful memorial, it has been decided that next year we should, in 2016, centre the international commemoration there to honour their great leadership. And this is the story of Irish America. Individual men and women in civic society, in church, in academia, in the historians coming together, putting their own money, hands in their own pockets, and providing leadership. And that's really the stage we're now at. I think, being new, maybe it's too early to say, but one does feel we are now moving to a very interesting phase of Irish America where we're building up institutions. We're commemorating our legacy in this society as we look to the future of ongoing contribution and leadership by Irish America in this society.
I don't think any listener to this program, indeed, would not know about the horrific situation within the United States with respect to immigrants in general, but specifically Irish immigrants who have recently found themselves, trapped in the United States. And this, we could do an hour on this, but suffice it to say that we are making headway, and that the great support of the Irish government, particularly again on the Taoiseach and his having access to the President of the United States, and for that matter throughout the year having access to Congress, in making sure that all concerned know that we have a specific stake in this, separate and apart, or indeed inclusive of the immigration reform.
The Irish government and the Taoiseach and successive Taoiseach have not been shy in explaining the depth of concern in Ireland that a legal pathway be found for Irish men and women, north, south, to be able to come and make a contribution to this society. And I suppose from, as a diplomat who's on the ground 365 days of the year, I could only underline the importance of high-level visits like the St. Patrick's Day period, when we had the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach there, we had the very significant representation from the Irish government. We had Minister Heather Humphreys here in New York representing Minister Flanagan, whose mother unfortunately passed away on the eve of his visit, and she represented the government brilliantly here at the request of Minister Flanagan. So what we were doing through that period, Adrian, was making sure that in the current context, and I know the issue is before the court and hence I'm not going to comment on that, that the government would demonstrate that we know the complexity, but we really do see as urgent, because we know how many people are caught up in the difficult situation of being unable to return home, that relief be given. And it's a matter for the courts and the executive and the Congress to decide what shape and what form that should give. But the Irish government will not be shy in advocating for, I think, what is, I would say at a personal level, sort of a historical anomaly, that now, after all we were talking about just a couple of moments ago, we find that European people do not have legal pathways into the United States. Now, there's something anomalous about that. Now, I know other parts of the world face similar challenges, from Asia, from Mexico, and we're not looking for Irish exceptionalism here. We're just looking for fair play.
In the meantime, though, it can be pointed out that the Irish government has indeed been of tremendous assistance to immigrants here.
Sure.
And that is regardless of status through the Irish agency.
Thank you for coming back to that point for me. The concentration in my consular area of Irish immigration, current Irish immigration, legal and illegal, is largely in the New York and in the Philadelphia areas. We are blessed by, as I mentioned earlier, leadership. We're blessed by leadership and a great partnership with leaders in the Irish community. So, for example, in Philadelphia, we have a brilliant Irish centre which engages in active outreach to the Irish undocumented community and offers support to our community across the board. Here in New York, we have three such centres within and for, let's say, offices, which day by day, hour by hour, are providing support, advice, both moral, both practical, and in some cases financial, to people who need support. So specifically here in New York, we have the New York Irish Centre with Paul doing brilliant work, Emerald Isle with Siobhan Dennehy and the team with Brian O'Dwyer doing great leadership with the board there. They have two offices. And we also have Ashling doing brilliant work on McLean Avenue. And we couldn't but praise that enough. Without the support and the partnership of those organisations and Catholic charities, we would not be able to support our community in the way that we can and in the way that we want to. In financial terms, it may seem crass to put money around this, but in financial terms, last year here in New York, funding for those centres reached over $700,000. And we're currently in a process of dialogue about the funding round for 2016, and I certainly am very clear in my own mind that they, the centres, just like the office here, are facing increased and quite significant demand for counsellor support.
I'd like to point out also that whereas the centres that you have mentioned are in New York, primarily in New York City and definitely in the metropolitan area, that the service goes way beyond that.
Exactly.
And that is very well known, that, for instance, in, particularly in the tri-state area,
yes,
for New Jersey.
New Jersey, absolutely.
Connecticut.
Yes, absolutely.
It covers all of those areas.
Exactly. And I think that when you begin to map the map of solidarity and support across the consular area, you obviously have those central sort of structures, or let's say the central parts of the infrastructure, but it spins through the GAA network. It spins through the United, it feeds out in this great acts of solidarity and goodwill in the county associations, in individual acts of philanthropy. I suppose it would be improper to talk in any way about individual cases, because perhaps some of the hardship cases that we deal with here in the consulate would be identified. But in the last year here, in addition to nearly 6,000 passports which we've issued, over nearly 1,000 visas, making us one of the busiest overseas Irish offices in the world, we've had amazing stories of sadness and grief, which on the other side of them have led to acts of solidarity and kindness and support, which are uplifting. And as Consul General, you get to see that, and you feel, I feel so proud to be part of this Irish American family, because we look after each other and we do that in a way which is decent and fair. And of course, the great thing about the Irish Centres in New York is that they offer services to people from all right across the community.
Absolutely. Now, I would like you to just fill us in on the significance of Pieta and Pieta House. Most of us, I think, would know and would be horrified and are about a taboo topic, suicide rates in Ireland, and indeed the suicide rates here in the United States of Irish who have come. It's one of the topics that are one of the remaining topics that we all would like to not address. However, we should.
I agree, Adrian. I agree that we should. And the really encouraging positive news on that front is that we are addressing that problem. Last year here in the consulate, a conversation took place between the senior leaders of the community about the issue of suicide in response to, New York is not unique. This is a very significant problem in Ireland. It affects young men in particular. I'm a mother of three children myself, and it's touched my own social circle in Dublin and my son's friends very much. And we decided that we were going to do something about it together. And I suppose what is really positive is that the Irish government said that if a good proposal was framed, that there should be no concern about the finance. So we've put money on the table from the start, but that wasn't the important thing. What important was, again, the leadership of Emerald Isle, New York Irish Centre and Aisling, and a big, big group of friends of those centres. And it is now decided that Pieta House, who are the experts in Ireland in civil society on suicide prevention and suicide training, shall take what they know in Ireland and, shall we say, infuse it and translate it into a context here in our beloved New York City and provide this service from the fall onwards. And I just want to also mention that in the context of our very close cooperation as Irish government with the GAA, the GAA in Ireland have done great work with the health service executive on this area too, and the GAA are going to be very, very close partners. When the president of the GAA was here last week, Egon O'Farrell, he confirmed again to me the willingness of the GAA network to reach out to men and women who are here in the society and make sure that there's never going to be any questions asked about money or documents. If somebody has a problem, pick up the phone, reach out to a friend and get signposted to the services, because no matter how dark today looks, if you find a friend and somebody who's going to listen to you, as we've all known in our lives, then the lightness can come and hope can start dawning. And that's what we want for anybody who has a serious worry about, be it whatever the worry be, reach out. The service is there. Call us here in the consulate. It's entirely confidential. Come in, see us, go to the centres, go to your pastors. I was out in St. Barnabas recently. What a fantastic parish. Reach out. There is help. There's no shame in asking for help. That's the correct thing and courageous thing to do.
In addition to the great number of Irish government supported immigrant agencies, not only on the East Coast but indeed right across the United States, there are relatively new organizations that in fact follow in the tradition of a great number of Irish who indeed who in the United States to this day become the presidents and the chair of so many organizations, business organizations that in fact friends have allowed us to make our mark in politics, in finance, in so many areas that traditionally can be associated with us, and we're good at it.
Yeah, I think Ed, you're absolutely right. There is within the focus and the correct focus and priority we give to people who are here for a good while or who are newly arrived without papers, and those people and my countrymen and women are the top priority. Within that priority, you also see a large group of men and women in the consular area who have been luckier than others in finding legal pathways. And what is striking about that group of people is you see men and women in the fashion business, in the media world, in the financial services sector, in the restaurant trade, all sort of, and in the cultural and political space as well, all beginning to reflect about what contribution they want to make to this society, gathering in, many of them setting up new organizations. For example, we have a brilliant new organization now, IIBN. We have IN, Irish Network New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia. We have a group of experts in technology, the technology sector in Ireland, who have set together sort of a self-help group for people coming over to advise them. They're called Digital Irish. When I was back in Dublin for a conference of all the heads of Irish offices overseas, we got a briefing from the GAA, and they were saying to us that some of the fastest growing network of GAA clubs are here in this council area. We have Shannon Gales powering ahead with a major new development project. Rockland, last weekend, Egon O'Farrell Uchtaron, Cumann Lough Glasgael, turned the sod for their new club. And he told me as he was leaving that at Gaelic Park last Sunday, two people came up to him with serious proposals to develop new clubs in the New Jersey area. Now, what is that saying? That is saying that this is a great moment of renaissance in Irish America, as well as in Ireland. The economy is recovering. People are looking forward with optimism to the future. But here in Irish America, we're seeing a great growth and great leadership emerging. And what's most interesting to me, Adrian, forgive me if I dwell on this, is that many of the people being attracted into these Irish organisations are people with fairly distant contact with Ireland. And Don Keogh, Lord rest his soul, before he died, at my last meeting with him toward the end, just before Christmas, he said to me that really, Consul General, your job is about making sure that it's easy for Irish Americans to connect with Ireland. And he encouraged me to look into people maybe with fourth and fifth generation links to Ireland as a priority. And that's exactly what we're beginning to see happen. We're seeing people some people haven't even been to Ireland who are joining these networks. Because why? Because they're really interested in making that connection to Ireland. That's why I think we really are at an exciting time for Irish America and for Ireland's connection with the United States.
And we see it also, indeed, budding philanthropists are indeed showing up and have independently made themselves not only known but had great success with the American Ireland Fund Young Leaders.
Yes.
Something that we have managed through the years to bemoan the eventual collapse of organizations and what's going to happen afterwards, and you know, the type of I want to give one example. When I came to this country 55 years ago,
clearly children were allowed to leave Ireland at that time.
I know that.
4 years of age, no doubt, Adrian.
But people were saying, oh, God be with the good old days, and God be with, you know, what the Irish had done and so forth, as if this were, you know, the end all of our generation. Now we're looking at, you know, much, much change in the world and an Irish population, particularly in the United States, who are in fact not handling their presence in a traditional way, though they are supportive, but in fact they are meeting the challenges of today.
Yes, I think that's true. And I think that there are great, I mean, I am an optimist anyway, but there are great, great grounds for optimism about that new energy that you've described. It is important as we look ahead to that regeneration and that changing of the guard, perhaps, that we continue, of course, to honour the great leaders, the priests, the nuns, the doctors, the nurses, the tradesmen and women who built this city, for example, and as I said earlier on, made this indelible mark. So we need to do both. We need to look to the future and support these organizations and encourage them to look into the community and be supportive of the community, as well as be both professionally savvy. I want to pay tribute, if I may, since you brought it up before I had the chance to do so, to the American Ireland Fund. I think that when I was a junior diplomat on my first posting to the United States, I had the great pleasure to meet the late Billy Vincent and Kevin Mallon and the Tony O'Reilly then, and I saw at first hand on the West Coast how important that network that they established was for Ireland from a tourist and from an investment point of view, and lots of the good things that came out of the West Coast, like Intel and Tom McHenry and Ray O'Flaherty and all those brilliant people, were sort of networked together and connected up in a way that really did change things in Ireland. And the American Ireland Fund have also here in New York, and the great wisdom of Loretta Brennan-Luxman and the new leadership now of John Fitzpatrick, they really are galvanizing solidarity and interest in Ireland in all sorts of ways. It's not just the immensely generous contribution their philanthropy makes, but also their encouragement and endorsement. I saw it last summer when I was working in Belfast as the senior Irish government official in my last assignment. The American Ireland Fund came to Belfast and we assisted Ciarán put together the program. And the impact which the visit of the senior leaders of the American Ireland Fund on the mood in Belfast, because it was a difficult period last summer, but the visit gave people great hope of ongoing interest in the United States, and also, I suppose, gave them the opportunity to imagine that the hard slog of peace and reconciliation is something that people want to see completed, so that we in Ireland can create this more reconciled and prosperous Ireland.